Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joke in your sin of the radio voices. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, and when they're not doing improv on a Memorial Day long weekend, they're interviewing the best improv guys on Memorial Day long weekends. I've got Gray and Rudy from Razzball.com. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Nick? Actually,
my script says good.
you said ladies and gentlemen as you opened. I just wanted to give a shout out. There's actually a female reader leading the RCL, the 500-600 team league we're running. There's a girl in the lead, so go Trini, I think her name is.
And she's winning.
Yeah, she's kicking some ass.
Or is it Trini,
well, like Trinidadian? If she's doing that well, she's probably not listening to the podcast then.
she's reading one of our competitors and then comes over and takes on everyone.
Hey, you know what? We've got a big podcast.
I read your blog to understand what not to do.
I hold your blog to a mirror so I can read it in inverse.
Listen, we've got a big show today, guys. I mean, a big show.
Oh, mention our guest. Mention him, Nick.
Let me tell you, it is a big guest today. It is comedy legend Greg Proops, who will be joining us today from such famous sketch comedy shows as Whose Line Is It Anyway? So Greg will be joining us, and that's
cool. Whose Line Is It Anyway, UK? Whose Line Is It Anyway, US? I think we're going to make a concerted effort.
And I think Drew Carey had him on his show once.
Yeah, I think we should make a concerted effort to let the guests speak this time rather than just five people talking at once.
All right, that's a good idea. I'm down with that plan.
All right, cool.
Does that work for you, Rudy?
Yeah, I'll try to shut my app.
Perfect.
It's tough.
Listen, there is literally a shitload of baseball to discuss today, so we're going to get into it. But I just had a quick question first. How did you gentlemen enjoy the long weekend?
It was nice. Thank you.
Rudy?
It was good stuff. Got some grilling in.
Yeah, you live in Texas, so you probably deep fried something that most people would grill.
No. Well, we grill here. We don't deep fry.
Barbecue.
I thought you were from Texas. Don't you like deep fried turkeys? And?
I don't do that.
At the county fairs.
We smoke stuff and we grill it.
Yeah.
But I just did hamburgers.
Sort of like Lincecum.
Speaking of stuff that can be fried or grilled, there's a lot of pitching injuries going down. And
I thought you were going to say dolphin. Yeah, there are a lot of.
Well, I want to start actually with the bigger story might be Roy Halladay, but I think we should start with Jared Weaver, only because Weaver's been off to such a good start. And these back spasms where he, quote, said it felt like someone stabbed him in the back. That's not a good sign. Rudy, what do you think's going on there with Mr. Weaver?
I think
it was Jeff Weaver.
Is Jeff Weaver in a voodoo doll? That's what it is. I had three good years too.
Yeah, don't forget where you came from.
Weavers die young. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It sucks. Our condolences to his owners. I mean, they think it might be the minimum. You know, 15 days, it's back is a pretty bad thing to be. I don't think there's really any pitcher injury that, aside from like, you know, fingernail, that that doesn't sound like just awful. Like where it's like, yeah, no, it's just a sore shoulder. He'll be back. It's like, no, that doesn't sound good. Shoulder, elbow, they're all bad. Back doesn't sound good.
But even the legs to kick off, to push off and stuff. Yeah, I agree. Pitching injuries are really
urinary tract infection.
Yeah, just drink some cranberry juice.
Get that shit out of your system. That's all you got to do.
I got a yeast infection in my ear. You'll be fine. You're throwing on the fifth day.
Put some Vagisil in there.
So literally just minutes ago, they announced he's going on the 15-day DL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, they told you first. Damn, we are plugged in.
Yeah, I think they're bringing up Garrett Richards, who's like, who doesn't profile too well. I think we'll cover him in the blog post tomorrow. But by the time you hear this, you've already read it.
Hey, yeah. There you go. So,
you know more than us because we haven't.
So, is there anything that we're concerned with here, or are you just going to wait it out and see how in the next?
No, I think what we're saying is we would be concerned because it's a pitching industry. In the pitching. He works in the pitching industry, and he got now. I'd be concerned for sure, but you're not going to sell him for 50 cents on a dollar. You got to wait it out. Nothing you can do at this point.
Now,
hope for the best.
Now, the flip side is Roy Halladay. You might be lucky to get 50 cents on the dollar because he's out 6 to 8 weeks with a lat injury. At least that's what's being reported. You're not going to get anything for him. Plus, he was off to a terrible start. I mean, where's Roy Halladay at, Gray?
Probably suburb of Philly, I would guess. He's going to be out, I'd say, 8 weeks. Just, you know, to be conservative, I consider the whenever a pitching industry, whenever a pitching injury comes about, I just go with the far timetable. I would say 8 weeks. Hope that he comes back. And if you have him in a head-to-head league, then you're getting, you know, hopefully you'll get a great starter for the last playoff push. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything from him until at least August.
You got anything on that, Rudy?
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I mean, that one doesn't sound good. They're not going to rush him back. It hasn't looked too great for the Phillies this year in terms of, you know, like they have him for another, one more year after this. So I don't think they're going to rush him. I think you're lucky. You know, you're looking at 8 weeks, you're hoping for August. And, yeah, I mean, I could see him doing well when he gets back. It's probable that his tough start is related to this injury and the rest will do him good.
Right.
That one's hurting. Yeah, we had a trade. I think we're thank our lucky stars are that the trade we were trying to do for Halladay earlier in the year didn't go through.
What were you offering?
No, he was asking for more for Halladay. We ended up getting Sabathia.
Okay.
But they seem like they seem to be the most reliable starters.
Yeah. We traded Berkman?
We traded Berkman, but then we traded like Bud Norris and AJ Pazinski. We traded like the two dark horse guys.
Yeah, they were sort of the sweeteners and ended up being much better than Berkman.
Sweet. Yeah. So obviously you're not going to drop either of those pitchers, but if you did have an extra roster spot kicking around, believe it or not, the hottest hitter in baseball right now is only 36% owned. He's 23 years old, and it's the big dump truck, Dan Vicieto.
I have him as the 11th hottest hitter, according to the Player Rater. Just saying.
I think when I looked that up, it was over the last 2 weeks. But hey, listen, I will happily go with you there, Rudy. You know, I think sometimes we forget he's only 23, and you know there is a culture adjustment when you come over from any country.
He's Cuban. Yeah. 23. Yeah, sure. He's
23. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm 23.
It's like Jose Tabata. He was married to a 48-year-old, and he was 22. Okay. I mean, I'm all about the Cougars and all, but come on. How is he 22 years old?
Right. So, okay, so he's 23 in air quotes.
You know, I just will say, and listen, what you're saying is fair, except Cuba, actually, I don't think there's any age issue with Cuban players. I think it's more guys from other Latin American countries.
Oh, okay. Hey, we touched a nerve with Nick. All right. Fair enough. No, wow.
You're Canadian. You don't have you got Cuban cigars. You guys have a direct pipeline into there. They don't tell us anything. We're not allowed to know.
There's an embargo.
They're very well organized. So I think that
he is. He's definitely a hot hitter. I like him a lot for power. I worry his strikeouts are kind of insane. So I definitely would own him right now. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a real extended period of time that he's going to be doing what he's doing right now. I think there's a good chance he's going to fall into like a 1-for-27 slump, or you know, with 26 strikeouts. He's that kind of guy that he's real streaky and he'll be good when he's on. But yeah, I'd be concerned about making room for him for an extended period of time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I was looking through his stuff. There's nothing that's jumping out, like, in terms of hitting lefties versus righties. He's even seemingly hitting breaking pitches fairly well, because you'd have to think as he's going on this run that pitchers are going to pitch him a bit differently. So he seems like the type of hacking swinger that they're going to find a weakness. Now, I don't know if it's like fastballs on the hands or curveballs in the dirt, but I do think his average is definitely going to probably get down to the 240s. But, yeah, you make a mistake, I could see him hitting it. But I can't believe, with the fact he walks so little, I would think you'd be, people would be throwing the ball in the dirt just about everywhere except in the middle of the strike zone.
I think, too, he might have plate discipline issues, like Matt Adams. Doesn't know when to stop eating off the plate.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, well, I don't want to speak too much about Giancarlo Stanton because he's done so well, but here's my question. His home and road splits are almost identical, and I'm just wondering, did we kind of maybe react too quickly to the new Marlins Park? Is it maybe not as pitcher friendly as we originally thought, or is Stanton just a freak?
And when I say we were reacting to his knee. I mean, he makes contact. He can hit out of any park. Yeah, he looks like a young Frank Thomas with, like, there's no park holding him. There's just there was problems with his the knee, and no, it looks like the knee's okay. So yeah, I'm not concerned about Giancarlo.
It could be that I think maybe that first week was pretty scary, like in Miami, in terms of being an extreme pitcher's park. But I think even at this point, doesn't Hanley's got a few homers on? I think it's probably a little less pronounced than we thought, but it doesn't matter for Stanton. He's just going to hit his homers anyway.
Okay, good enough for me. So how's that Andrew Bailey and Ryan Sweeney for Josh Reddick looking for the Bo Sox right now? Because Reddick's got 13 homers and 5 steals. He looked pretty good in that Red Sox lineup.
Sweeney terrible. Had an empty 300 average, though, and a good fielder.
I think it was part of the – I think there was a backroom deal with Epstein to when he's like, I'm leaving, but do me a solid and make a terrible trade right after I go, so people really appreciate me.
Yeah, Reddick's definitely been a surprise. He had crazy power. He had really good power numbers last year in AAA, but it was, but it was in a half season, and I think that's what kept his stock down, both I think in the majors and in the in fantasy drafts. But he seems to hit like a solo homer every day.
Oakland's park is a little scary too, but it doesn't seem that it's completely bothering him.
Not yet.
No. I wouldn't necessarily turn down offers though if someone's looking to buy him at his current rate, thinking he's going to be a 35 homer guy. I don't think he's going to come up short of 30 homers even. Even though he's at, what, 14 now? 15?
That was 14.
14, yeah. So he's at 14 now, but I still think he comes up short of 30. I'd say 27.
Reddick or Hosmer rest of season, Gray? Who would you rather have?
Oh, God. Why do you go there? Why do you bring up Hosmer?
At least there's no emails.
I was feeling so chill. I was like, I just got out of yoga. I was omen, and you bring up Hosmer.
It was just a yes or no, or pick one or pick the other.
No. As no an answer? No. I'd take Hosmer just because I'm so pot committed. I want Hosmer to be better. I'm praying.
Yeah, I would take probably Hosmer, but I wouldn't make the trade. I'm not trading Reddick for Hosmer just yet. But no. but it really depends on the league format, because I think I actually have. I probably would make that trade in one of the AL only leagues, because corner men are so brutal to find in a 12-team league. Corner men are easy.
Right. In our league, we're winning with Murnau and Reynolds as our corner men.
No, I'm talking about the other one where I'm playing Figgins at corner man.
Oh, is that the league I drafted?
You did the second half of the draft.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, you had Longoria, though, right? Is that
Figgins is
the third baseman?
No, he's corner man. I got Seager. Seager's like a rock over at
the I got Seager late. That was a good pick by me.
Yeah, no, Seager, yeah.
All right.
Seager,
how's that team doing anyway?
Second place.
Nice.
Don't you guys have interns to do the drafts for you?
What's that?
Don't you guys have interns to do the drafts for you?
No.
That's a Watanabe leagues or something. FanGraphs doesn't have time for drafting.
Yeah.
We're still grassroots over here.
All right, let me give you another name. Jason Kipnis is on pace for a 25-25 season. Two questions. A, can he keep it up? B, where would he get drafted next year, Rudy?
He'll be drafted. I'd say he's probably going to be like a fifth round pick next year. That's about where fifth or sixth round, basically where Azdrubal went this year, is where I'd put Kipnis going into next season. No, I don't think. I think he's really a 15-15 guy. The crazy is that he was on pace for 25-25 in his limited stint last year. He's outperforming his AAA stats, and it's not that that would be unprecedented. Just doesn't seem very likely.
Right.
So 15-15, 280 type, which is, and you might get your upside of 20-25 homers, kind of like where what Kelly Johnson used to be. It was a 15-15 guy that every once in a while would hit 25 homers.
Whereas Drupal Cabrera is running around the locker room going, "Who took my freaking milkshake?"
Yeah. Hey, well, as Drupal's back, he was out for a couple days, but as Drupal's been pretty good this year.
I know.
Yeah, they got a good middle infield there.
Great. What about you? What do you think about Kipnis?
Well, it's kind of boring just to say I agree, but that's sort of how I feel. I think he's a 15-15 guy who's going to end up around probably 2020 this year, because just where he's at right now, it's hard to believe that he's not going to hit, more than, say, 6 homers the rest of the year or whatever it is, or 6 steals. But I agree also that I think he'll be around the Azdrubal kind of right after the top tier middle infielder grouping of like fifth, sixth round. Yeah.
I'd rather have him next year than Jeter or Rollins. And those guys always seem to go around there.
Oh, hold on, guys. Hold on. I got a call coming in.
Oh, no.
No.
Hold on.
Don't answer.
No. I know the caller ID says Pedro and Alyssa. Don't answer the freaking phone.
Actually, no, it says Greg Proops. So here we go.
Let's get the
smartest man in the world, Mr. Greg Proops. Greg, are you ready to run the gauntlet with Rudy and Gray right now?
I believe I am.
All right, Gray, Rudy, here you go, guys.
You can go first,
thanks,
Gray.
So much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
My pleasure. We're big fans of yours from Whose Line Is It Anyway, of course. I mean, it was such a great show. Who's the
that's better.
How'd you end up on that show? Consider it was on it was all in Britain, right? It was shot there, and there was mostly all British comedians, wasn't it?
I got on and they came to San Francisco and auditioned, thank goodness. The year before they'd come and I wasn't there, and I think I was in Idaho with Tom Kinney, and my friend McShane called me and was like, hey, this English improv show's here, and I was like crying in my condo. And then the next year they came back to San Francisco and I got on, and we shot for in England for like 10 years. I lived in England for like 5 years. And then we did it in the States for 4 years.
Yeah, it really shows in the accent. I could tell a little bit of British in your accent. You and Madonna, it must have both rubbed off.
No, I made a concerted effort not to pick up any British accent. I'd say things like bloody or whatever, but I don't go like, I got in the lift and I'm knackered or whatnot. She has a full-on mid-Atlantic accent. My wife said to me when we moved there, they don't want you to be one of them, so don't pick it up.
She's very supportive. They don't like your kind here.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing you have to sell in England, and that's that you're not them. You know?
Right. Yeah, the novelty. Ryan Stiles is also, he's American, right?
As far as I know, I've never asked to actually see his papers. He's kind of a half-assed Canadian. He sort of grew up in Seattle and Vancouver.
So who was, like, the funniest person on that you worked with throughout the whole run?
Aside from myself?
Of course.
Well, Clive, the host of the English one, was devilishly quick. He's probably the quickest person I've ever met in a lot of ways. But, you know, I always rose to the bait with him and just fought him tooth and nail because I was never going to let him win. Tony Slattery on the English version was magnificent. Josie Lawrence, who I still work with in England, is hysterically funny. McShane is a very old friend of mine. He was on the British version. He's one of the quickest improvisers I've ever worked with. I work with Ryan all the time because Ryan and I are in a group together. We just got off the road from a couple weeks, and night in, night out, I think he might be one of the top ones I've ever seen. He really never fails. He has a tremendous sense of how to improvise and what to say and the place and the character and the scene, and he never gives up. And it's sort of the opposite of the way I do comedy.
Do you think improvisation gets a bad rap with, you know, the stereotype of like, you're green and scuba, now do a scene? Or is it just a matter of whose hands you're in?
Well, I mean, yeah, it can be excruciating. I think stand-up comics hate it, and I've always done both, so I never really gave a fuck what people thought about. I mean, people watch Whose Line after all this time and go, you can't make it up, you had a script, right? And it's like, dude, whatever. If you can't believe that someone can have a skill, then no, we didn't make it up. Improv for me is, the fun part is not necessarily doing improv games, but like I do a podcast and I improvise as much of the podcast as I can, so I like to just freestyle comedy in general, you know?
Right. With the podcast.
That's kind of how we end up writing blog posts.
Yeah. Because you just freestyle.
What's the podcast's name again, so our listeners can look for it?
You have listeners, for real?
When they're not listening to the Smartest Man in the World podcast, they're listening to the Basketball Baseball podcast.
Yeah. It's the Smartest Man in the World. And it's on iTunes, and it's on, you can get, if you go to gregproofs.com or Proofcast, it's there, and it's free.
Nice.
And that one I do every week, and I have some notes and shit, but I don't really write it out. I try to make it up as I go along, and I think that's the fun of it and the trick of it.
No, that's cool. Now, back in like the improv, on your improv shows, was there ever any like bigger name celebrities that tried to crash and try to play in there? Like I picture like Robin Williams trying to go on there and throw out his never dated
black and gay man impressions.
Well, he did an episode of Whose Line, but I wasn't on it with him.
He did? Oh, okay.
Yeah. They had Sid Caesar on, they had Whoopi on. I didn't deal
Sid
with any of
Caesar.
Them.
Wow.
Sid Caesar, man.
I mean, he's like the original king, or at least the first one to maybe broadcast something, broadcast comedy.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, when you were over in the UK, did you get into soccer?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't have a lot of choice, you know what I mean? It wasn't like they were showing baseball games that much. They showed football like once a week, and there was a kind of they would show English basketball, which was hysterical for me. So I started watching Italian Serie A on the Sunday, and I mean, I'm not deep into it. People always ask me, English people, which team do you support? And I say Farnborough FC, but that's only because my friend Andy supports them. But I've been to the World Cup. I went in 2006 with Drew Carey's mad for footy, and so we went to the World Cup in 2006 together. And I do watch the World Cup pretty avidly.
Drew Carey actually bought me lunch for 4 months straight during the Writers Guild strike. He paid for lunches for everyone who is a card carrying member.
Yeah, he did. He's amazing. He's an extraordinarily generous person, and not a lot of people know that he did do that.
Yeah, it was
during
this
period of Rogers.
I ate a lot of swingers for about 4 months.
No, he's amazing. He's done more for me than anyone I've ever known. You know, he's just I'm loyal to him because he's such a groovy guy.
So that means he must be a Seattle Sounders fan because he owns a part of the club, right?
No, I don't support the bloody Sounders. I'm not weak.
Now, so are you able to turn off the joke machine in your head at times when it isn't necessary? It's one of the things that I think Gray and I go through, where we're always thinking up jokes and comebacks, and then we're kind of stymied when we can't use them. Like, you know, I don't know, we're in bed with a girl, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, you might want to correct sometimes. Yeah, your grandma's funeral, that's inappropriate. I am, yeah, I can be serious, but it's not my go-to. And I also find that having lived a rough and ready comedian's life my whole life, that I'm a great deal more profane than polite company would accept. And sometimes when I find myself around polite company, I realize that I'm, you know, swearing a lot more than everyone else. And then I have to kind of remember that I'm not in a room full of comedians.
Yeah, no, I think the average comedian's pretty filthy in their language.
Well, I mean, I know I am. I don't know what the average one does. I think we're a little more rough and ready than regular people. We know how regular people are. Regular people say things like, I'm going to tell a joke now, or I heard something funny the other day. And you're like, what do you mean you heard something funny the other day? If your day isn't filled with jokes, what's your day like? You know what I mean? Really? That was an oasis that happened because someone said something funny in your life, you know? But that's what people are like, you know? They live these weird lives where humor is a thing instead of constantly thinking of something smart-ass to say.
You dip your bread in it every once in a while. It's not the main course. It's a little too sweet.
What was that long joke that they did the movie about?
The Aristocrats?
Yeah, you got an Aristocrats for us, Proops?
Oh, no. I mean, I love Paul Provenza, and I admire him greatly, and I've worked with him a bunch in the last year. But I never understood that whole, that we tell that joke to each other backstage, because we don't.
Maybe it was like 20, 30 years ago?
Well,
it's like a vestige or something?
Why would we tell each other vaudeville jokes backstage? I mean, I never quite understood the whole premise of that thing. And I don't think it's that funny of a joke.
Hey, Greg,
my favorite one like that is a boy doesn't say anything for he grows up and he never speaks, and his family is absolutely beside themselves with grief. He's like 13 years old and he hasn't said a word, right? And the mother, the father, it's like wrecking their home. One day he comes down to breakfast, and the mother puts the food in front of him, and he goes, this oatmeal's cold. and the mother almost falls over, and she calls in the dad, and he comes in, and they're crying, and they go, Joey, why have you never said anything before? Why have you never spoke? And he says, everything was okay up till now.
Greg, I want to ask you, what's a live show like for you? Because I know tomorrow, Wednesday, May 30th, you're doing a show at the Bar Lubitsch on Santa Monica in West Hollywood.
I love Bar Lubitsch. By the way, P.S., I go to Bar Lubitsch like once a week. I love Bar Lubitsch. It's about a half mile. It's about a half mile from my house.
Well, perfect. You can go there tomorrow night at 8 p.m. to watch Greg's one-tated show.
I just may.
Yeah, it's my favorite bar in L.A., the L.A. area, named after a 1930s and 1940s European immigrant director.
Yes, but you came to the best comedy direction of all time. Do it better.
What was the question, Nick?
Yeah, the question was, what's a live show like with you? Like, what can people expect when they go and see you live? Is it improv style, or are you doing more typical stand-up?
No, tomorrow night's the podcast, so I'll come in, I'll have a drink in front of me, I'll sit down. I usually talk to everybody in the crowd before the show, I meet everyone. And then I'll just have at it. I got some couple of stories I want to talk about. In between the time I recorded the last show and this one, Donna Summer and Robin Gibb passed away, and a bunch of other people, so I kind of...
You're gonna disco rip?
Yeah, I eulogize and I canonize and I do all those things about the dead on the show, and then I'll talk about probably politics a little bit tomorrow, and then I'll riff the rest of it. So that's what they can expect. It's a lot of my bitters and pain and me trying to make sense out of myself. I mean, I find that when I'm just, you know, improvising the show, I make a mistake and I'll just incorporate it into the show, you know what I mean? I don't try to make mistakes. But inevitably they happen, and I'm always wrong about stuff. And for me, that's where the fun is. Then I can kind of try to work around it. Like, if I mispronounce a word, I'll just keep saying it over and over, you know, and try to make it funny. I know it sounds riveting.
talking about being funny is really hilarious.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, trying to explain comedy. It's like here at the Harvard, those guys who write for The Simpsons and went to Harvard talk about it. Really
fascinating. Yeah, isn't it? There's really nothing greater than Harvard writers telling you how they concoct their humor.
It's a transposition of reality.
What I did was, I surprised you at the end of the sentence. Oh, and by the way, yeah. It's going to come from a privileged guy's point of view.
Well, listen, Greg, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. We definitely... You know, Gray, I'm just going to make a suggestion. You need to go down to Bar Lubitsch tomorrow at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, May 30th, and check out this podcast. You can bring back a full report next week. I think that's a good idea.
I will. It's free. Gray, it's free, so you have no fucking excuse. You live nearby, and it's free, and you're going to go
I'll be there. I'm actually going to pay for it.
I love it. That means handing me money, so fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually don't carry cash, but I'm going to tomorrow.
Perfect.
And of course, you can follow everything Greg is doing at gregproops.com. And you do a weekly podcast, right, Greg? The Smartest Man in the World is a weekly podcast.
That's right. You can get it on iTunes or proopcast.com.
And it's really funny. I actually listened to a whole episode on my way in today, so it's actually really, really good shit. Not that you'd expect anything less from you, Greg, but really, I really enjoyed it. So thanks again, Greg. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, you guys.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy, man. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks again, Greg. Okay, back to baseball. So what we're going to do, guys, to wrap up here, I'm going to throw some quick questions out. You give me quick answers back. Fair enough?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Hey, glad you're excited about it. Okay, here we go. In a keeper league format, okay, rank the three San Francisco pitchers in order of who you'd like to have on your roster between Bumgardner, Tiny Tim, and Kane. Rudy, give me the three in order, top to bottom.
Kane, Bum, Lincecum. Lincecum being last.
Oh, so sad. Greg, to you.
Bum, Kane, Timmy.
Bum, Kane. That sounds weird, but I think I'm with you, Greg. Coco Crisp has not stayed crispy in milk this year. I know steals and saves ain't got no face, but is face a buy low face right now? Are you buying Coco Crisp, Rudy?
if he's on waivers, but otherwise there's other Sagnoffs to get. Get Rajai Davis.
What about you, Gray?
Yep, I agree. I mean, that's the whole point of Steals Ain't Got No Face. I'm not buying him for in a trade, but yeah, I'll pick him up.
All right. Hey, it's bus station bingo again. All right, next one. Here we go. Would you own either of these guys in a, hold on, is a 712 bus gone yet?
I can't hear you.
I don't know what that was.
I know what bus that is. That's the bus that's going to Bar Lubitsch to see Greg Proop's show.
Wait up for me!
You don't take the bus in that area.
You don't take the bus in L.A.
Okay, I realize he's only
5%. Actually, I took the bus once, and ironically, it's filled with valet guys. All right.
I realize Kevin Millwood is only 5% owned. He's been pitching great in Safeco. Would you own him in a 12-team league, Rudy?
No.
Same question, Vladdy Guerrero.
No.
Greg. Kevin Millwood, would you own him in a 12-team league?
No. I wouldn't own Vladimir Guerrero, no.
Or Kevin Millwood?
No. I hear the Padres might call up this Jason Marquis fellow, though, so that's exciting.
They might give Matt Bush another chance, too.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want Jason Marquis in a 30-team league.
Hey, let me ask you, let me give you two more quick hits, and then I have a question. A couple bullpen things. Seattle, Brendan League's been demoted, possibly temporarily. Is Wilhelmsen the closer there, Gray?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yep.
Does League get his closer job back this year, Gray?
Yep.
Rudy?
Probably.
Okay. Which horse you betting in the Washington bullpen, Burnett or Clippard, Gray?
Clippard.
Rudy?
Clippard.
Man, let's see, too easy for you guys. Okay, so one last question just to wrap up here. I know the Blue Jays sent down Eric Thames. Snyder's injured, so he can't play in the outfield. And quite frankly, they don't really have anyone, because even if Encarnacion doesn't DH, he can only play first base. So who's going to play left field for the Blue Jays?
He's so Rajai Davis.
You think Davis is going to play every day?
Yeah, I mean, he was. He's only like 2 years removed from, like, I think he had like back to back 40 to 50 stolen base seasons for the A's. He's not a good left fielder, mind you, but Thames wasn't either. And he's not going to kill you in the field. So, yeah, no, I think Davis gets like a 2 week run, and my guess is he's probably going to average 2 or 3 stolen bases a week. So I already picked him up.
So he's Rudy's Sagnoff of the week.
What's that?
He's your Sagnoff of the week.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I just lost mine with the Avery getting sent down. That was a bummer.
Oh, he got sent down? Oh.
Yeah, he got sent down.
Yeah, well, I dropped Quentin Barry. You could pick him up.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, I don't want to end the show on a downer like that. So one last quick question: Dexter Fowler goes 7-for-9 on Memorial Day. Gray, any chance that he finally emerges, or is he just not worth the
hell? Yeah, no, I've liked Dexter Fowler for like 3 years now. Obviously, about 3 years too early, but I'm a big fan. I like without Fowler, you're just playing fairer. No, I don't know. It's terrible, but yeah, no, I like Fowler.
What about you, Rudy?
I don't, if he's not stealing bases and he's not a supreme power threat, I don't see what's so great about him.
He's good. Yeah,
he's got to be something. Like, I feel like he's Granderson with less power.
you paid $18 for Borjos. Dexter Fowler's doing what you wanted Borjos to do. How dare you, sir?
I was betting Borjos. Borjos could steal 40 bases once he gets his hip in place. Fowler doesn't steal bases. He's Granderson with less power, and maybe the Colorado helps get him to 20.
he's got 15 steal speed at least.
So I know, but we got all excited with
2015. You're kicking that out of your fantasy baseball bed. Huh?
All right, can you guys keep your domestic issues? keep your domestic issues to yourself. All right.
But I'm saying I can't get as excited. He's a decent. He could be a. His upside seems to be a decent third outfielder.
It's the Fowler's got great speed. ... that he doesn't use.
Hey, speaking of which, when you guys go and soft toss the ball around, which one of you pitches? Okay.
All right. On that note, nice.
I
think we're a couple now. I'm not sure exactly where that went, but.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was another.
We can edit that out later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
That was another Razzball Baseball Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. And next week, you do not want to miss next week. That's all I'm saying. Thanks so much, guys. Take care, guys. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.